I'd just like to add another piece to support what Brother Harris was saying. In that, what they're saying to the little children, even in verse 24 and onward, talking about abiding in Christ, that's also what was actually given to the young men earlier. It's when it said, you know, the word of God abideth in you. And so we see there that there's an encouragement for the young people to progress. You know, when for the little children, rather. When he addressed the young people, he said, the word of God abided in you, you have overcome. And to the little children now, he's telling them, abide, you know, with God, let the word abide with you as well. And so you see that there's an attempt to bring them from that state of little children up, you know, through the ranks, if you want to put it that way.
But it is normal for us to grow. Right. It's normal for us to encourage growth. Or else it's totally abnormal.
Just with verse 23 that was mentioned quickly, I'd like to connect that also with that word in verse 13, that the little children had known the Father, and the special danger in their particular case was there were these antichrists who were teaching against the Son. And so in verse 23, the warning is, if you're denying the Son, you don't even have the Father. These false teachers who were denying the Son probably were coming to these little children saying, it's wonderful that you trust in God as Father. You realize that Christ, that Jesus would not be someone you would put the same kind of trust in, of course. We just talk about God. And this is a safeguard against that, that evidently was a specific type of danger, as was mentioned earlier, what eventually developed into Gnostic teaching, denying the fact that Jesus as a man could also be divine. That denial had to be specifically guarded against, and it's exactly really some of the things that we see in our own day in the last 6 months, the same type of thing, you know, reducing who Jesus really was and allowing the thought of God, but reducing any thoughts of Jesus as the Savior and as the divine one sent by God.
And I read something in preparation for this session that early on in history, early on, there wasn't that much question as to the deity of the Lord Jesus. There was more an attack as to whether he was truly a man. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if others have read that, but that's what I read, that very early on, that was the major question, was he a true man? I'm not sure if others could, you saw that as well.
Mm-hmm. There was a thought that the Christ spirit would have come upon, the part that was really God came upon the human form and then departed maybe at, you know, at his crucifixion and so on like that. Yeah, many just confusing things.
So that was, this was written in to correct that. I think that's important for us to understand. This was written to correct, combat that type of error. And that the little children may well have been more susceptible to that type of being confused by that.
Maybe that's why you have the instruction in chapter 4, verse 2, hereby you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit which confesses Jesus Christ come in flesh is of God. Mm-hmm. And every spirit which does not confess Jesus Christ come in flesh is not of God. And this is that power of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that comes, and now is already in the world. Mm-hmm. So maybe that would add to what you're saying.
And I think this, I'd like to make one comment about the Antichrist, and then the spirit of the Antichrist, and then we probably should move on. Mm-hmm. But just the thought that there's the term Antichrist is only used by John in Scripture, and there's three things it refers to. Number one, the verse that the guy over there, Sam, I couldn't remember your name, sorry, that Sam just mentioned. It's the spirit in the world that opposes Jesus Christ. That's what we have in 1 John 4:3. The second thing that we have in chapter 2, verse 18, is the false teachers who embody this spirit, who are led by this spirit to oppose and teach false doctrine concerning the person of Christ. The third thing we have is found in Revelation, it's the person who will head up the final world rebellion against Christ. And so we need to understand the three different usages that he uses here of this term. One is the spirit that's in the world today that directly opposes. In fact, we said at the outset on Sunday that there's two forces at work that we're talking about, light and darkness. And they oppose each other. One is the light, has to do with the true Christ. The darkness has to do with the false Christ, the Antichrist. And so these forces oppose each other. And maybe the others want to comment, but... Revelation 19.
And that was in relation to...
the Antichrist.
The one who leads a worldwide rebellion.
You have a question?
What was the second one?
Here. Right here in chapter 2, verse 18. The false teachers themselves.
Just before we go on to chapter 3, I just wanted to point out in chapter 2, there's two themes that are running through there, and that is knowledge, knowing, and then abiding.
Mm-hmm.
Very important. Some of us know a lot of things, but how much are we abiding?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can know the scripture, we can know the principles, we can know it right up and down, but the challenge is abiding in the reality of what those things mean. He says the truth is in you. Well, then abide in it. So it's not just the accumulation of information that John is expecting for the little children, for the young men, for the fathers, for all in the family of God. He wants us to know the truth. He wants us to know the truth in whom it rests. But he wants us to abide in it and to have a working, ongoing relationship with it, so that we can be kept from the false teaching.
Hmm. Now, at this point, I think this is perfectly said to move us into today's real section. Could we have someone maybe read verses 28 and 29 of chapter 2, and then someone, I'm not sure, could briefly read over the best you can, chapter 3? Is that? Could someone do that for me quickly? So verses 28 and 29 of chapter 2, and then chapter 3.